From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, August 5th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine Congressman Jared Golden opted not to cast his vote as a Democratic superdelegate during the party's nominating process for Vice President Kamala Harris. Party leaders have long planned to hold a virtual roll call vote ahead of the Democratic National Convention later this month in order to avoid legal issues involving ballot access in Ohio. As a superdelegate, Golden could have participated in the virtual voting, but he said Monday afternoon that he believes regular delegates and not party elites should make the decision. Golden is running for a fourth term in Maine's more conservative 2nd Congressional District. He's yet to say whether he supports Harris for the White House. His opponent this November, State Representative Austin Terrio, and other Republicans have accused Golden of, quote, playing politics by not saying whether he supports the Democratic nominee. Ahead of November's referendum on Maine's state flag, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows announced on Monday the winner of a contest to design what may become Maine's next state flag. Adam Lemire of Gardner submitted the winning pine tree flag design, featuring a tan background, a blue star, and a green pine tree as laid out in statute. Lemire says he submitted the design from the hospital just before his partner gave birth.
And we actually went to the hospital before I submitted, and I actually submitted as she was being induced. The doctor said nothing was happening right then, so it wasn't, she was sleeping while I submitted, but I basically knew I wouldn't have time after the baby came, so, and I was right.
The design features 16 branches on its tree, symbolizing Maine's 16 counties. Lemire says he was inspired by the eastern white pine trees he sees while walking with his three-year-old. Although Lemire didn't dare tell him about winning the contest, worried about his son's ability to keep a secret before the official announcement. Shellfish harvesting has been shut down for 7,500 acres of southern Maine's coast after this weekend's rainfall for fear of fecal contamination. The closure extends from Freeport to Harpswell and affects both commercial and recreational fishermen. Bryant Lewis, a marine resource scientist with Maine's Department of Marine Resources, says the department automatically closes a harvesting area after it experiences 2 or more inches of rainfall in a 24-hour period.
After you get that level of rainfall, that water will cause a lot of runoff. So particularly wildlife species that are on the shore, maybe along the banks of brooks and streams that flow into growing area waters, that can give a pulse of fecal contamination. So those closures only last for a few days as a precaution because of that increased fecal contamination.
According to the National Weather Service in gray, Freeport saw 2.5 inches of rainfall from Saturday to Sunday. Lewis says the order should be lifted in 3 to 4 days. The U.S. Coast Guard has announced that salvage operations to remove the 83-foot fishing vessel Jacob Pike from the New Meadows River in Harpswell will begin next week. A spokesperson said the federal government took possession of the vessel, which is considered a pollution threat, when its owner Cyrus Cleary abandoned it after it sank during the January 10th winter storm. It's estimated that the fuel tanks on board can hold 1,000 gallons. Pollution removal contractors placed a floating oil boom around the vessel to contain the spread of the sheen, pumped 400 gallons of oily water mixture out of the submerged vessel, and removed 11 marine batteries. The Coast Guard says it's used the Federal Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund to cover $165,000 in costs thus far. And last weekend's Beach to Beacon 10K road race helped raise more than $150,000 for a local charity. Preble Street Teen Services provides access to shelter, food, and other basic services for teenagers in Maine experiencing homelessness. Leah McDonald, the Senior Director of Social Work at Preble Street, says the funds will primarily go towards operational costs, such as their 24/7 shelter in downtown Portland for teens.
Preble Street has worked really hard over the last 6 to 9 months to make make sure that we're able to leverage as much funding as possible from this opportunity. And actually, to date, we've met our goal of $150,000. And as numbers continue to come in this week, we're expecting to exceed that goal, which we're incredibly excited about.
McDonald says the organization received a $30,000 grant from the race sponsor, TD Bank, while the rest of the funds come from private donations. North Atlantic right whales were once known to migrate northward every spring from their calving grounds off the southeastern U.S. to feed in the Gulf of Maine. That all started to change about 15 years ago, when the endangered whales were seen in the Gulf less frequently, and researchers shifted their focus to Cape Cod Bay and the Gulf of St. Lawrence, where the population was known to aggregate. This summer, the state of Maine launched a research program to get a more accurate picture of where the whales really are. The findings could be critical for the future of the state's lobster industry. Nicola Grisco reports.
As the 100-foot-long whale watch vessel Acadia Explorer idles at the dock in Bar Harbor, passenger Sarah Leiter with the Maine Department of Marine Resources opens her laptop.
Okay, so this is the game plan for the next 2 days.
She points to a map of the Gulf of Maine, marked with a series of red dots arranged in a grid-like pattern that show the locations of 26 passive acoustic monitors listening for North Atlantic right whales about 30 feet underwater. On this trip, Leiter's team will swap out some of the units that need new batteries, but will also do visual surveillance for the whales. They'll travel at 10 knots along a path that zigs and zags in and offshore, stopping first at a point just southwest of Swan's Island.
Then along the coastline off of MDI, past Mount Desert Rock over to Site 6, and then we kind of create the same pattern following a U until we get to the last visual waypoint, and then we end up back in Bar Harbor.
Along the way, the crew scans the water almost constantly, looking for signs of marine life. So far this year, they've seen humpback, fin, and minke whales, but no right whales.
All data is equally useful data, so those zeros are just as important as finding a pile of right whales.
Aaron Summers leads DMR's Marine Mammal Research Division, a new initiative that includes the acoustic monitoring, these boat surveys, and now monthly flights over the Gulf of Maine to search for right whales. She says the data that are collected will be used to tell a more accurate story of when the whales are moving and where they are in relation to Maine's lobster fishery. Summers says it's important that if lobstermen are forced to take new steps to prevent fishing gear entanglements, they should have confidence that their efforts actually make a difference.
We want to foster that buy-in and have them have some confidence in the information that's being used that affects their daily lives, their income, their culture, their economic, you know, efficiency, all of that.
Patrice McCarran of the Maine Lobstermen's Association says the state's research will provide information that the state has lacked since right whale survey efforts dwindled.
To have more information about how far offshore they are, what numbers of whales we may or may not be seeing, and how many are randomly coming through closer to shore. You know, is it 1 or 5 or 10 or is it 50?
And though state researchers have yet to see a right whale firsthand, the network of passive acoustic monitors placed in the Gulf of Maine has picked up several right whale vocalizations like this one. The calls are low and quick and somewhat hard to hear. A right whale sighting here and there is to be expected, McCarran says, but she believes the data will show what fishermen already believe to be true.
I think it's the hope of most Maine lobstermen that it's going to document what their knowledge about the ocean and right whales tells them, that right whales are very rare.
So rare, in fact, that many seasoned lobstermen say they've never seen one in Maine's waters. Researchers say that claim is not surprising, as most lobster fishing boats are too close to the water to provide a view of whales that feed about 4 feet below the surface. And Orla O'Brien with the New England Aquarium says it's often difficult to spot right whales in the ocean, even when you're looking for them. The aquarium has increased surveillance flights over the Gulf of Maine this summer. And earlier this month, O'Brien spotted a right whale named Butterfly nursing her calf about 15 miles southeast of Jonesport.
Seeing the mom calf pair is kind of an indication that, you know, that's one sighting, really means they're likely other sightings out there that we don't catch.
But the data gathered in the coming months, says Sarah Leiter, will provide a more accurate picture of what's really happening in the Gulf of Maine.
The research will tell us, you know, we're out here to figure this out, like where they are and when. And we know we've had occasional single animals visiting the Gulf of Maine at really odd times. And this will help us kind of suss some of that out, you know, and figure out what is going on. It's the truth, you know, that's what we're interested in.
DMR officials acknowledge that their time is limited. While Congress has delayed federal restrictions on the lobster fishery through 2028, the National Marine Fisheries Service says it wants to restart discussions next year on a new set of rules to protect the species from entanglement. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicola Grisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, we'll talk about Maine's beneficial insects and how they've helped to shape the environment. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thank you for listening.